Breitbart Business Digest, Recovering the Legal Architecture of Trump's Tariff Policies. By John Carney on May 30, 2025. The law wants a ruler, why Trump's tariffs are legal, necessary, and rooted in statute. The anti-tariff legal establishment cheered this week when the Court of International Trade, CIT, ruled that President Trump's use of the International Emergency Economic Powers Act, IEEPA, to impose tariffs on foreign goods exceeded his statutory authority. The Washington Post called it Trump's biggest judicial setback. But the celebration didn't last. The Federal Circuit quickly stayed the order, allowing the tariffs to remain in place, for now. And rightly so. Because while the CIT tried to carve IEEPA out of the broader trade law framework, the deeper truth remains. The President of the United States is the lawful guardian of the American political economy. And Congress has armed him with a web of statutes that speak with one voice, act in our name, for the sake of the people. The President's constitutional role in trade. The Constitution gives Congress the power to regulate foreign commerce. But from the founding to today, Congress has consistently delegated substantial authority to the executive. Why? Because trade policy isn't just bookkeeping. It isn't a spreadsheet or a ledger entry. And it is not just about raising funds to finance our government. It is governance. It is sovereignty. It is the question of who rules, the American people through their elected executive or foreign powers acting through an open and often predatory system of global integration. As we've noted many times in Breitbart Business Digest, when a foreign country adopts mercantilist policies, suppressing domestic consumption and engineering growth through structural trade surpluses, the U.S. is forced to choose to accept the results passively or to take up defensive measures. For two decades, Washington chose passivity, allowing the policies of Berlin and Beijing to displace American industry. Trump chose sovereignty. Trade is not a neutral zone. It is an arena where order must be preserved, judgment exercised, and national self-rule asserted. In moments of imbalance, predation, or strategic dependency, it is not the process that must act. It is presidential authority. The president, elected by the people and entrusted with their welfare, must weigh not just prices or flows, but the higher goods of justice, independence, and civic cohesion. This is not some imperial pretension. It is the core function of constitutional governance. As Alexander Hamilton wrote in Federalist No. 70, decision, activity, secrecy, and dispatch are essential to executive power. In trade, where delay invites dependency and disunity, the president's energy is not a threat to liberty, it is its safeguard. Even Justice Robert Jackson, in his Youngstown v. Sawyer concurrence, acknowledged that the president operates at the zenith of his powers when acting with the authority of Congress. And Trump has done just that, invoking IEEPA, Section 232, and 301 to defend the American economy. Law without judgment becomes paralysis. A real constitutional order does not pretend every moment is ordinary. It does not set tariff rates in stone, leaving them unchanged even while the rest of the world nimbly exploits the so-called rule-based order. It equips the sovereign with the means to act, not above the law, but through it. The Executive Trade Constitution. Congress has not merely permitted this role, it has built it. Over decades, it has enacted a structure in which the president is expected to confront unfairness, correct asymmetry, and impose order. These laws, IEEPA, Section 232, Section 301, Section 122, form a legal chorus, not a cacophony. They speak in unison, lead in our name, protect the nation, preserve our economic self-command. The classical American tradition, from the framers of the Constitution to Hamilton and Lincoln to the architects of our modern trade statutes, understood that commerce is an instrument of power. The president is not a referee. He is not an umpire of global integration. He is the steward of the nation's political economy, its structure, its dignity, and its endurance. When he uses these tools, he is not exploiting a loophole. He is fulfilling a constitutional function, moral, legal, and institutional. And the courts that now try to disassemble that function by parsing statutes in isolation are missing the deeper truth. Trade law is not a codebook. It is a framework of entrusted sovereignty. The web of statutes and the constitution of trade. The CIT's decision treats each trade law as a discrete mechanism whose use must be reviewed in isolation. But that's legal myopia. Trying to understand the president's role in trade by looking at statutes separately is like trying to find your way through a forest by simply knowing the names of different species of trees. In reality, Congress has built a coherent and overlapping structure of trade authority designed for the president to act with discretion and unity. Section 232, Defend National Security from Economic Threats. Section 301, Retaliate Against Unfair Trade Practices. IEEPA, Address Foreign Threats to the U.S. Economy During Emergencies. Section 122, Temporarily Counterbalance Import Surges and Trade Imbalances. Section 338, Retaliate Proportionally Against Discriminatory Tariffs. Section 151, Fast-Track Trade Legislation and Limit Congress's Own Interference. Taken together, these form a statutory constitution of trade. They were not written to bind the president, they were written to empower him. Against judicial fragmentation. The CIT sought to confine IEEPA to sanctions and asset freezes, but this isolationist approach ignores the obvious. Congress has repeatedly authorized the president to take economic measures, including tariffs, when foreign actors threaten U.S. interests. Congress has acted as the architect and the mason building a stronghold to protect the U.S. from predatory trade. The court also ignored the historical context. When IEEPA was enacted, presidents had long used tariff authority to respond to global instability and foreign coercion. Tariffs were not some novel extension, they were already a tool of national defense. Worst of all, the CIT treated trade as a field of neutral process, rather than as an arena of rule. But in the American tradition, trade is governance, and the president is the only constitutional actor equipped to govern it effectively. Delegation, revenue, and the original trade constitution. Much of the court's opinion rested on the claim that tariff power is too central to Congress to be delegated. But this misunderstands the founding structure. The framers centralized tariff authority to prevent interstate economic warfare, not to micromanage executive action. Their primary concern was to prevent the states from undermining national unity, not to restrain the presidency. The Constitution's main concern with trade was to centralize it, place it in the realm of the federal government rather than the states. And while tariffs were once the primary source of federal revenue, that hasn't been true for over a century. As income and payroll taxes became dominant, tariffs ceased to be fiscal tools and became instruments of policy for diplomacy, industry, and economic justice. Congress has retained its authority over revenue-raising tariffs. But in delegating protective, retaliatory, and emergency tariffs, it has not surrendered its core power. It has simply adjusted the structure of governance to match reality. The non-delegation issue dissolves once you distinguish between Congress's fiscal interest in tariff law and the president's responsibility to protect the national economy. Trump gets trade law right. Trump's trade actions are not outside the law. They are exactly what the law was designed to enable. Congress has not been bypassed. It has been obeyed. The statutory structure it built assumes a president strong enough to wield trade authority for the common good, not with indifference or delay, but with prudence, strength, and resolve. The president's duty, under the law, is to make sure we are not subject to foreign trade imbalances that are perilously burdensome for the U.S. economy, for national security, and for our industrial capacity. It is to rule within the law for the good of the people, in the name of the nation. That is what Trump has done. And that is what the law demands.